All right, guys, come on back in. Everybody's so quiet. Did anybody clap during that when John asked you to clap? Anybody? We're awfully Scandinavian around here. I don't know if German. I'm German. I don't know if we know how to clap. Everybody think we do this? John, yeah, a little. No, you're all just kind of sitting there. That's all right. That's okay. It's cold and wet, and it's a good day just to sit. But what we're going to do today here for the next few minutes is we're going to spend some time looking at God's Word. We're going to spend some time talking about things that God tells us, and that's exciting to me. It really, truly is. It's exciting for me to know that God talks to me through this book, and He speaks to you through this book. The God who made you, the God who someday is going to rework all of this, the God that someday is going to call us home, that God talks to you right now in this through this book. I believe that, and it's exciting to me. He talks to us in all kinds of ways. God speaks to us through nature and through other people, but He starts here. He starts right here, and so as we read this, we hear from the Lord, and that's what we're going to do here for the next few minutes, is just let God talk to us a little bit. So here's what we're going to do. We're starting a new series today. It's called Everyday Value Menu. Here's kind of the point of the series. There are things that we do on an everyday basis that have great value. Things that we do that, you know, at the time we may think, I'm not sure how big of an impact this thing is having that I'm doing, but long term it has great value. Kind of like, you know, if you make a meal for your family three times a day, when you're making the meal, you can think, I don't know how big of a deal this is. Well, your family's getting fed and they're growing and the kids are becoming strong. It's kind of like that. There's stuff that we do just regularly, kind of routinely every day. But those things have great, great value in our lives as Christians. And so that's what this series is about. And I wanted to kind of illustrate that a little bit. So I want to show you a picture here. When you see that picture, what catches your eye? What? Someone said it over here, I think. Yeah, the clothes. I mean, I look at, yes, it's a wedding and that's exciting and it's royalty. That's, what's his name? I think it's William. Is that, oh, I don't know. I really don't know. Is it? I think it's William. He's third in line for the throne of England. His grandmother has been alive for 1,000 years and she's now. Anyhow, he is going to be king of England someday. That's his wife, Kate. But when I look at that picture, that, you know, one of the first things I notice is the clothes they're wearing. I mean, that's quite an outfit that he's wearing. I mean, he looks like a king, right? I mean, his clothes make him look like a king. And her wedding dress, I wonder what it cost. I mean, really, without trying to be funny or anything, I'm guessing that is an exceptionally expensive wedding dress. That's my guess. $10,000, $50,000, I don't know. A lot of money. When the future Queen of England gets married, there's some pretty fancy duds there, pretty fancy clothes. And when I look at that picture, that's what I notice. What, when you look at that picture, and particularly when you look at the clothes, what do we miss? What don't you think about? Anyone want to take a stab? What don't you think about? What do you miss when you look at what they're wearing? Let me just tell you. This is kind of like clapping. Here's what I miss. You can't make clothes without fabric. You don't think about the fabric, do you? I mean, when you see that outfit, when you see that wedding dress, all of that stuff started with just a bolt of cloth, just some plain old fabric, nothing to it really, just some cloth. And then you take that and you craft it and you do things and you cut it and you put it together, but it starts at its core, at its foundation, all those clothes was that, some thread and some fabric and some cotton or some kind of material that is woven into fabric that is then used to make this extraordinary thing. It's easy for us in a situation like that to look at the end product and to miss the fabric that goes into it. Easy for us to see the clothes and to miss the fabric. That's true of so many things. And fabric, without that kind of mundane thing, we don't get those fancy clothes. And it's true in all kinds of areas of life. I got another picture here. This is Greg. If you guys know Greg, our sound guy. Go ahead, Tommy, that next picture there. Do we got that one? You had it first service. It's gone. I had a picture of Greg. He looks like Santa Claus in that picture. Well, the point is, guys, that we have all of these clothes. There's a picture of Greg and his waders and with a really nice fish. We went fishing yesterday. But those waders are made out of a special kind of fabric, right? It's a rubber thing, and so it keeps the water out. There it is. There's Greg. Doesn't he look like Santa Claus? Fishing. but he's wearing waders there because we're in the water, and so that fabric keeps the water out, right? And it was cold that day, and so he's wearing that blue kind of sweatshirt because it keeps him warm. That vest he's wearing is a special material. It doesn't rip, and it's water repellent, and it's got all these pockets in it to put all our stuff in. And so all the things that he's wearing there are very functional. They have a specific use, and they work really well, and yet all of them start with the same thing. Just a roll of rubber or a roll of cotton or a roll of fabric. The point of that is this, guys, I think Christianity is like that. The way we live our Christian lives is like that. Christianity is made up of all of these daily activities. These things that we do on a regular basis that in and of themselves don't seem like such a big deal, but the end result is, wow, I've got this life that God is using that's beautiful, that's functional, that's having an impact. But on a regular basis, you look, what I'm doing today doesn't seem like it's all that important, but it's the fabric of life. As we just kind of live our lives on a regular, everyday basis, what happens is God uses that and he creates a life that is beautiful. He creates a life that is functional. He creates a life that is powerful and has an impact. And I believe that as you and I live our lives, here's one of the amazing things about being a Christian. We talk about being a Christian as if that's a big deal. And it is a big deal. Being a Christian is an incredibly big deal because the God who made you, what being a Christian means is that I have been brought back into relationship with my Creator. I have been brought back into fellowship and connection with the God who rules the world, the God who has a plan for the entire universe, all of time, eternity is in his hands. And that God, if I'm a Christian, if I've come back into right relationship with him through Christ, I'm a Christian, and now my life is tied into what he's doing. And because of that, the life I live, the life you live as a Christian, it has an impact. You are a difference maker if you're a Christian, and I hope you believe that. If you have accepted Christ, you are a difference maker. You impact the world around you because you're great and powerful and strong. No, because your Father takes the everyday life that you live and he turns it into something that's powerful, that's beautiful, that's impactful. I see that. I see young men and women come to know the Lord when they're in college because somebody invited them into their home, shared the gospel with them. They get saved. I see that young man or that young woman grow up and get married to another young man or woman who accepted the Lord. I see them raise a family. I see them influence their workers, and eternity has changed because they just live an ordinary life day by day, and I believe that with all my heart. You change eternity by being a Christian. If we live our lives in that everyday way, in such a way that fabric of life is something that God can use to turn it into something powerful and beautiful, okay? See, Christianity is like that. Christianity is made up. Tommy, give me that next slide, would you? It's like that fabric of life, that we just do these normal everyday things, and God turns it into something powerful. And he says that to us in all kinds of different ways here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11, he says an interesting thing here. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you. Wow, isn't that kind of what we're talking about? Just live your life quietly, working with your hands every day, just doing these things. But then the next verse, let me read the next verse to you because it says what the result of that is. I'm going to live a quiet life, mind my own business, work with my hands. Then people who are not Christians will respect the way you live. In other words, your life will be seen and people will step back and say, my goodness, there's something about you. And God will use that quiet life to influence the people around you. He says something similar to the whole church here in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts, you're seeing how the church was beginning, kind of the early stages of the church. And from this few little bit of people who saw Jesus, who accepted him as their Savior, who became Christians, from that little group of people in Jerusalem, we have what we have now, where Christianity has spread throughout the whole earth. And this crazy, wild, powerful thing happened there with that just little group of people. But what did they do? Well, a lot of what they did was just everyday, ordinary living their life. Here in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to what? Well, the apostles' teaching, listening to the guys, to fellowship, meeting together, to sharing meals and to prayer. There's nothing spectacular about that. Hey, let's eat together. Let's pray together. Let's read the Bible together. A little while later, verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Again, nothing extraordinary here. They're just what? Living their lives. They're living their lives intentionally, living their lives well, but what happened? As they lived these ordinary lives, well, here, I'm going to finish this up. Same kind of thing that we just looked at. And all the while, praising God, enjoying the goodwill of the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Because they lived their everyday lives well, God took that fabric and he created something extraordinary. More and more women, men and women, believed in the Lord, were added to their number. The church grew. It spread throughout the whole earth, spread down to you and me throughout time. Amazing. And it started with people living their lives, ordinary lives, on a regular basis. One more verse. I like this one. I go back to this a lot. This is a story that Jesus told about you and I think. He painted a picture. He said, you know what? This master gave his servants certain amounts of money, and then he left, and they just had to kind of take what he'd given them and invest it. And over a long period of time, they invested it, and then he came back. And that speaks to you and I. Your Creator gave you and I gifts. He gave us opportunities. We live here. And then he says, now I want you to live your life and invest those things that I've given you well. And this is what he says when we do it well. The master returned and was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. I like that. You and I, we just take the things God's given us, and we invest them slowly, wisely, day by day, and God comes back and says, wow, you've done a great job. I'm going to do this amazing thing with what you've done, and let's you and I celebrate together. Here's the point to all of this, guys. If we want to live that impactful, powerful life that I believe with all my heart God wants for you, you are an influencer, and God will use your life to influence. But if we want that to happen, so much of it is not looking for the big, flashy thing. It's doing the fabric of life things. It's doing the regular, everyday things that I'm going to do my life intentionally and well, and then God is going to take that fabric, and he's going to craft something beautiful and powerful and impactful. Does that make sense? That's what we're talking about in this series, those fabric of life things. I'm going to make small investments today because I believe God will give me a huge return in the future. God will use what I offer him. Now, it's like the story of feeding the 5,000. If you're familiar with that story, you know that story where Jesus fed 5,000 people. They didn't have any food. They're out in the country. There's no Quick Trip close. And they got to feed these people. And one little kid had brought his lunch. You know, mom had packed him lunch that day. Nothing extraordinary about that. Moms, you do that, right? How many times, moms, have you packed your kid a lunch? Send him off. You don't think about it. That's what happened that day. Mom packed this kid a lunch, and he showed up, and there's no food. And he said, well, I got this. And Jesus said, great. Let me take that ordinary lunch. And he did a miraculous thing. fed 5,000 people and there was stuff left over. You live your life intentionally and well. You may think, I don't got a whole lot here. God says, oh yeah, I do. Watch this. And he turns it into something amazing. But what we're going to talk about is those fabric of life things, okay? That's the point of this series. Some of those fabrics, some of those things that we do on a regular basis, a daily basis, that God can use to change your life, change the lives of the people around you. Today, we're going to start with marriage, okay? And I want to start with this statement. Marriage is an everyday, amazing, foundational thing in God's economy. There's a lot in there. There's a lot of adjectives in there. And one of the things marriage is it's an everyday thing. And that's true. It's an everyday thing. It occurred to me this morning, that sounds bad. I knew that today was my anniversary, but I recognized this morning I'm teaching about marriage on my anniversary. October 15th, 29 years ago, I got married. So this day, I got married. Now, I wonder how many other people got married that day. It was a Saturday in October, probably a lot. I'm guessing all kinds of people got married that day. I wonder how many people got married in Wisconsin this weekend. 30, 50, 100, 300, I don't know. Marriage and getting married, being in a wedding, there's nothing extraordinary about that. It happens all the time. It's just a regular occurrence. It is an exceptionally everyday thing. Weddings happen just nonstop. And then, once they happen, what happens then? Well, then you're married. And you kind of live as a married couple since then. I did the math this morning. I've been married for 10,585 days. 29 years ago today, I got married, so I have been married consecutively every day in a row for 10,585 days. That's a whole lot of days of being married. Now, I don't remember all 10,585 days. And if you ask me what happened on day 3,604, I have no any idea. I couldn't tell you what happened probably on 10,581. The point is this, that we get married, there's nothing extraordinary about that, and then we live as a married couple, and that happens all the time. There's nothing extraordinary about getting married or being married. It's an exceptionally everyday kind of just get up and do it kind of thing, right? But, God uses your marriage. The way you live as a married couple, God uses it as an amazing foundational thing in his world. In the economy of God, your marriage, the fact that you chose to say I do, and the fact that you are now living as a married couple, as you're doing it intentionally and as well as you can, none of us are perfect, we completely mess up, but the fact that we're saying, Lord, I want to do this well for you, God uses that. That's gold in God's economy. It really, really is. Why do I say that? Well, let's look at what he says about marriage. Number one, he says that marriage, your marriage, is a picture of our relationship with God. God gives us a picture of how he feels about us. Did you know that God looks at you and he says, I think of you like a groom thinks about his bride as she's coming down the aisle. It says that in Ecclesiastes. God, listen to this. God looks at you and he thinks about you the way that I thought about that redheaded girl 29 years ago. I walked into my wedding, and this is the honest truth, and I stood up at the front and I welcomed people, and Sue walked down the aisle, and I have no recollection of the rest of my wedding. None. It's just totally gone until I walked out with her. Because all I saw was that girl. I just was so excited about this girl. And God says, that's how I think about you. Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. Well, that's what he said here. And so that picture helps me to understand my relationship with God. That's what he says here in Ephesians chapter 5. He's talking about husbands and wives. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Okay, there's this thing that happens. A husband and a wife getting married, and they live as a married couple. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. God paints us a picture. And the reason that's so important, guys, is because you and I need these pictures. We need them. We think of ourselves sometimes as maybe a little smarter than we are. One of the big differences between a children's Bible and this Bible, you know what it is? Children's Bible has pictures. And so when you read about Jonah, you see Jonah inside the belly of the whale. Why is that? Because a little kid needs that picture to kind of a man in a whale, I don't get, oh, there he is, he's in the belly, I get it now. Well, the truth is that you and I need those pictures as well. As God's spiritual kids, we need him to paint these pictures so we can understand what he's telling us here. And he says, I love you. And we think, well, I'm not sure what that means. Oh, but I see this husband and wife. Oh, okay, now I got to get that. See, God uses your marriage as a picture of his relationship with you and as a picture of his relationship with the world. And if we mess up the picture, here's exactly what will happen. We will mess up our understanding. You and I are not smart enough to understand things clearly if we mess up the picture. Marriage is incredibly important to God. That it's honored, that it is done the way that he intended it, is incredibly important because it shows us how he relates to us. If we mess up that picture, we mess up our understanding. That's why marriage is under assault, I think, and it is in this country. We've got to be careful of that. Now, I can't change what someone else does, but I can impact my own marriage. And my marriage helps me to understand what God thinks about me, helps the world around me see what God thinks about them. And that's true of your marriage as well. It's a picture of God's relationship with us. Here's a second thing, an amazing thing God does, is he uses your marriage as a building block for society. Wow, that seems like a heady statement, but I believe that it's true. The very, very first, here in Matthew 19, Jesus said this, "Haven't you read the scriptures?" Jesus replied. "They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man will leave his father and mother, joined to his wife. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together." I believe that the very first human relational institution that God ever created was marriage. It was not family. It was not the church. It was not a government. It was a marriage, because that's the beginning of all of these relational institutions and organizations that God created later. That's the first thing. You don't build the house without the bricks. This is the brick. This husband and a wife committing to each other, coming together, very different. Very, very different. Men and women are different. They come together and they form one and they work together and they strengthen each other and they work through their differences. That relationship is the foundation. It's the building block for this church to do well, for societies to do well, for families to do well. That marriage is God's building block, I believe. And if the brick is porous and broken, the building's not going to stand. Building is not going to stand. But if that brick is good, if God has all of these bricks of marriages growing in the way he wants them to, he uses that to build the world around us, society, families. It's the building block for God's society. One of the big ways, and I mentioned it, is this. And it's another big thing about marriages, is it's a foundation for kids' lives. And this is maybe a little politically incorrect to say it, but I just think we got to look at what God says and recognize some realities here. Kids do better when mom and dad are married. That's just the truth. Now, having said that, I want to say this. If you have a mom and dad that aren't married, or if you are a mom and dad who's been divorced and you have kids, God can work with that. God can use that. We're never at a point where, oh, it's done for us. It's not that at all. But in God's economy, kids do better when mom and dad are married. And as a husband and a wife, I can create a foundation for my kids to do well. My parents would tell you know what, their marriage wasn't fantastic, I don't think, and there were troubles, and I think that they would explain that to you. And so from their standpoint, they can look at it and say, it wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. From my standpoint, I say, I am so grateful to mom and dad because they were there, they were together, and I had a foundation to become the man that I am, because mom and dad were mom and dad together. And God uses that. God uses your marriage as a foundation for the lives of your kids. And that's crazy impactful. That's crazy exciting. To think that me just living life with this woman influences these three souls that God has given me as kids. And they're going to go off and get married. And I don't know all the things God's going to do. And it's not that I have been a perfect dad, because believe me, I haven't. I haven't been a perfect husband. Believe me, I haven't. But again, God takes what we give him and he multiplies it. And he uses it as a foundation for your kids. And the last thing is, it's just a huge blessing to you. Oh my goodness. Proverbs 18:22, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives a favor from the Lord. God did me a special, special favor when he gave me Sue as a wife. He just did. I'm just so thankful. It's just like, oh, I don't deserve her. My mom tells me, you married really well. And she's right. I married above my station, and God just did a great favor to me. And believe it or not, and this is just as true, and my wife would tell you this, God did her a special favor when he gave me to her. That's just what God does, and it has been a blessing to me. That girl has been a blessing to me in ways that I can't even tell you over the past 29 years, and it keeps going, and it keeps getting better, and it keeps getting stronger, and God intended it to be that way. So for all of these reasons, marriage is this everyday thing, but it's an amazingly foundational thing in God's economy. Your marriage, if you're married or if you're going to be married, you live your life day by day as a married couple, but how you do that creates a fabric. The fabric of your life, and God can take that fabric and create all of these amazing things out of it. So what I want to do for the next little bit here, just a few minutes, is talk about, well, what do we do? How do we live as a married couple? Well, so that the fabric is good, okay? Now, marriage is a couple of things. Marriage is flying high, and marriage is just walking along. And I think both of those things are true. There are times in marriage when it feels like this here, where, you know, you're up on the mountaintop, and the sun is setting, and the views are incredible, and you're gazing at your spouse, and you're just, the emotions are pounding, and the passion is strong, and you're in this crazy, wonderful place, and you're, sometimes marriage is that. Absolutely. And those times happen to us. And they can happen forever. They don't have to just be early on in the marriage. They really do. God's plan is that these flying high times happen, and we grow in them, and they become different as time goes on, but they're deeper and richer and fuller in the passion and the flying high. Absolutely. My experience and so many other people's experience is that the passion doesn't die. At least that's not God's plan. Doesn't have to die. It can grow deeper, stronger, richer. And these times happen, and they're there. And we're flying high as a husband, as a wife. But also, there's a lot of just walking along, and it's more like this. You're buying bananas today. And it's so exciting. No, it's not. He's buying a banana. This look like a good one? Sure. I don't like bananas, but go ahead. I don't care. Right? I mean, a lot of days, that's what marriage is, right? Now, that's a little different picture. It's not any worse. It's just different. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. We can long for the first one, and this one can begin to feel like this picture here, where, you know what? Just kind of sitting there. You know, there's nothing wrong with that picture in the sense that they're having supper together. You know, there's no big, huge problems going on there. When you look at that picture, what do you feel like? It's just blah. Part of the problem is they're drinking wine and coffee together. Their systems are going crazy right now. But I mean, sometimes we can feel like that walking a long time is this. I want to tell you that it's not true. It's not true. And don't get me wrong. There are going to be days when if you took a picture of you and your spouse, that's what it would look like. And that's okay. That's okay. There are going to be other days if you took a picture of you and your spouse, it would be that first picture. That's okay too. What I want to do is recognize there's both. There's both of these things. The reality is that we're going to have a whole lot of days like this, a whole lot of days of just kind of living life. And what I want to do for the next very few minutes is give us some daily skills for an amazing marriage. Okay? What we've said here is that your marriage can be an amazing thing in God's economy. This foundational, powerful thing. God can use it to do amazing things in your life, in the lives of your kids, in the lives of the people around you, in the lives of your country. I believe that. God can use your marriage to do amazing things. But I need to live that marriage out on a daily basis. Let the fabric of my marriage be good material in God's hands. How do we do that? How do I just do these daily things so that God can take my marriage and make it this amazing thing? Four things. Four very simple, and everything I'm going to share, nothing I'm going to share to you is going to share with you is going to be extraordinary at all. But that's the point of this. There's great value in these everyday things. Amazing power over time in these everyday things. Four daily skills that you can use to have an amazing marriage. Here's the first one. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your spouse. Talk with each other a lot. Relationships are built on communication over time. There's a mathematical equation in there. Time plus communication equals relationship. I believe that that's true. The time is going to happen. You know, time happens whether we want it to or not. The question here, the variable in this, is how much communication is going to happen. And that's up to us. You want to have an amazing marriage? Talk to each other a lot. This passage here is just a good little verse. It doesn't speak specifically to marriage. It's talking about family, and it lays out an interesting thing here. He's talking about in Deuteronomy, just kind of laying out this idea of communication with your family. And he says this here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. He says, talk about them, talking about what God has said. Talk about them. I lost it here. Verse 7, there it is. Talk about them when you are at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. In other words, he's saying, hey, as you live your life, talk. When you're at home, talk. When you're on the road and going somewhere, talk, communicate. When you're going to bed, talk, communicate. When you get up, talk, communicate. What he's saying here is communicate in the ordinary events of life. I like that. Do that with your spouse. Get into the habit of talking a lot. Let me tell you how that's played out for Sue and I as time has gone on. Early on in our marriage, we made a point, especially when we had little kids, to get away on dates. Now for us, and everybody does this differently, by the way. Let me just tell you what Sue and I have done. When we had little kids, we got away. We got out of the house because little kids are communication thieves. They steal it. So we'd get away. We'd get someone to watch the kids. Can't lock them up. You got to just get someone to watch the kids. And then you guys go. And we would sit, for Sue and I, we would make a point of going out and sitting across the table from each other and talking. Dates when you're going to movies are fantastic. Dates when you're going, you know, to do something, to do an activity, that's really fun and it's great. But we made a point. Once a week, we had a time where she was there and I was here and we were facing each other and all we were doing was talking. We would eat a meal. For us, that worked out well. We would go somewhere, order a meal, sit down, and we would talk for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. We just carved that time out. That time was going to happen. A meal was going to happen. It's just life. But we made sure that we had time where we're just sitting and talking to each other. In that situation. As we've grown older, here's what Sue and I have done. We've started to go on walks together. We need to get out and exercise, and so we've started to go on walks. We have dogs, and we'll go walk the dogs, but we'll do it together almost always if we can. And if one of us is going to go walk the dogs, we'll say to the other one, will you come with me and walk the dogs? And we walk around the back, and we talk, and we just talk as we go. And it's not a super long time, and you know, it depends on who's doing the walk, how long it is. In fact, the person who asks gets to set the pace. So if Sue asks, will you go on a walk with me, she gets to set the pace, how fast we walk, and it's a sprint is normally what it is. It's just I'm out of breath. When I ask, Sue brings a chair along and just sits because I'm walking like this. But the point to that is that we just go do it. We go and we walk around and we're side by side and there's nothing to do but talk to each other. Another thing that Sue and I have fallen into, and this was not on purpose, but we wake up every morning and we both have a quiet time. And I'll sit here and she'll sit there. We'll be in the same room right next to each other. And invariably that will lead to us talking. What are you reading? What are you thinking? How did yesterday go? What about the kids? We'll just talk about stuff. Simple point. But carve time out of your day. The time's going to happen. If you are married, carve time out to communicate. There's no substitute for looking at your spouse and talking. And you do it for a long time. Day after day after day after week after year. And what happens? A relationship is built on that communication over time. It's a simple daily skill. It will create an amazing marriage as you learn to do it. Here's a second thing. Serve together. Find something that both of you can do, preferably for the Lord. God asks us to work for Him. God asks us to work for His kingdom. As a married couple, He will use your marriage to impact the world around you, and some of that we can be very intentional with. I would suggest to you that you serve together as a married couple in God's kingdom. Here in Acts chapter 18, I'm not going to read this, but it lays out the story of this married couple named Priscilla and Aquila, and they did just that. They were tent makers, and so they're just living their life. They probably had kids. They're just kind of going about life, but as they did it, they were intentional in being involved in the gospel. Paul moved in with him. Paul was a guy who was going around sharing the gospel, starting churches. They invited him into their home, and he lived with them. And then this guy named Apollos, who was this great speaker, unbelievably effective speaker, they invited him into their home, and they used him. They would follow Paul around, and he'd plant a church, and they'd stay there and have that church meet in their house. They served the Lord, but they did it together. You want to have an amazing marriage? Serve the Lord together. And that doesn't have to be anything spectacular. Let me tell you how that's worked out with Sue and I. Early on, when I started working with the college students, we were meeting on campus every Friday night. And that just really resonated with me. It's something God was asking me to do, and it used my gifts and my strengths. I was teaching. I was discipling. It was just very much what God was asking me to do. And so Sue chose to come with me. And so for 12 years, or maybe 15 years, every Friday night, Sue and I were down on campus together. We got a sitter for the kids, and she came with me. And we served the Lord together. Because that's how God wired me, and so my wife joined in. Now, God has wired her very differently. She's a servant. She's hospitable. She longs to use the home. She longs to go visit people. So I've just been coming with her. We've opened up our home. People have lived with us. We have people come in. She loves to have game nights, and so we have people in. She likes to go visit people in the hospital. I went with her to the nursing home and played bingo the other day because that's how, not with all the old folks. And it's great because that's how God wired her, and so I'm just coming along, and we're doing it together. Find things that match who you are, who your spouse is, create opportunities to use those gifts and do them together as much as you can. It will strengthen your marriage, and God will use it in amazing ways. Nobody cares that Sue and I went and played bingo. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. God uses that. He changes lives. He touches people as we serve together. Talk to your spouse. Serve together. Work at your stuff. This is huge. Oh, I wish I could talk about this for days, and I have 2 minutes. And I'm not kidding about that. Work at your stuff. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, there are a few places in the Bible where God speaks directly to husbands and directly to wives. Not a whole lot, but there are some. Here's one of them, where God is speaking directly to wives and directly to husbands about how they interact with each other. And he says this in verse 22, he's speaking to wives. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So he's laying out to wives, this is your primary goal, this is your primary role within this relational thing called marriage. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. A little while later, verse 25, he shifts gears. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. In a marriage, primarily the roles that God has given you are these. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. And it is so critically important that husbands work hard at their part, which is what? What's a husband's role? Love your wife. It is so critically important that wives work so hard at their part, which is what? Wives, respect your husbands. Here's what goes wrong so often. The husband thinks, you know what, you're not respecting me, and he focuses on her role. It's not his deal. The wife thinks you're not loving me, and she focuses on his role. You have to work at your stuff. Let me give you an example. It occurred to me about 6 months ago. We'd been married for, what, 28 and a half years by that point. And my wife is a great wife, and she worked really hard at this. But a situation came up where something had happened here in the church, and Sue wanted me to respond to it in a certain way. And she, not on purpose, but she was pushing, you have to do this, you have to do this. Why aren't you doing this? You need to do this thing. And it occurred to me in a flash, you've been doing that to me for 28 years. And what you're trying to do is make me like you. That's what you do, and I've explained to you again and again and again. I don't even feel like God's asking me to do that. That's not my role. And you just won't let it go. And I felt nagged and nitpicked, and I just exploded. I said, I am done listening to you about this, and I was angry. You have disrespected me, and it's just occurred to me you have disrespected me for 28 years, and you've tried to make me who you are, and I'm not who you are, and you won't listen, and you keep bringing it up, and you go and talk to your girlfriends, and then you all come and tell me to do it, and I'm done. I am done. And I was furious. And all that afternoon, I was just seething. And the next morning, I woke up, and I recognized two things that next morning. Number one, I recognized that my understanding of what had just happened was correct. She had disrespected me for 28 years. And I had told her, and I'd explained it, and she either didn't like it or something, so she wouldn't take it. I was right. She hadn't been doing her job. Here's the second thing that was crystal clear to me. Doesn't matter, Rob. Your response to this, you love her better. Your response is not to make her respect you. Your response is not to make sure she knows just how much she's failed. You love her better. Forget it. It's done. If she keeps doing that for the rest of your life, your role, you love her better. And there is such freedom in that. I cannot tell you how freeing that is for me, what a blessing it is for her. I'm going to focus on my stuff, not yours. I'll talk to you about it and help you, but then I'm going to step back, and you do your thing, I'm going to do mine. You work on your stuff, okay? Last thing, simple, bless your spouse. I like this verse. A newly married man must not be drafted into the army or be given any other official responsibilities. He must be free to spend 1 year at home bringing happiness to the wife he has married. Bring happiness to your spouse. I like that. Just be a blessing. Find out what blesses your spouse and do it. My wife is unbelievably good at this. She, in thousands, myriads of ways, and this is small stuff. Let me give you an exceedingly small thing that my wife does that makes me blessed. At 8 o'clock at night, I'm just getting tired. My systems are shutting down. I'm a man of routine. I start to get ready for bed. By 9 o'clock, I'm making a bowl of popcorn. By 9:30, I have a book and a bowl of popcorn. I'm going to bed, and I don't want anything to go wrong. A man who eats popcorn in bed makes the sheets dirty. So Sue will strip the bed, wash the sheets. If I'm heading to bed at 9:30 and I walk into the room and the bed is not made, it's just, oh, it's not that big a deal. It's really not a big deal, but it's just, oh, I gotta make the bed. My wife, for 28 years, has gone out of her way to make the bed before I get there. It is just a tiny thing. I know it's just a tiny thing, and if she didn't or she forgets, it's fine, but she does it just because she knows that just makes me happy. She likes to be served, and she likes breakfast. So my day off is Mondays. I told her a year or two ago, darling, I'll make breakfast on Mondays. I can't cook. I can make you a really badly cooked egg and a bagel. She loves it because I'm serving her, and it's breakfast. Find those little things and do them. Bless your spouse, okay? If you do these daily things, what happens over time is what? You weave a fabric of a marriage. God takes that fabric and he crafts something beautiful. He crafts something powerful. He crafts something phenomenal out of the fabric of your marriage. And I want to leave us with this. John, you can come up with the band. I went a little long here. I apologize. I want to leave you with this. Marriage is an everyday investment that pays huge dividends. Marriage is an everyday investment that pays huge dividends in your life, in the lives of the people around you. And I like that verse. You know what? May seem like a small thing talking to my wife today. May seem like a small thing blessing my husband today. May seem like a small thing doing this, going out and playing bingo together. And it is a small thing. It's a small everyday investment that pays huge dividends. Lord, I just thank you that that's true, that you in your power and your grace and your strength give us that opportunity, that we can create just the fabric of our marriages, God. You can take that and you craft something amazing. We just want to be men and women who are doing that, weaving the fabric of a marriage for you to take and to bless us and to bless our kids and to bless our neighborhoods and to bless our community. God, to bless you. Help us to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.